I think we have the man himself, David Himbaro. You're there.
Yes, I'm here, Phil. Thank you.
Well, what a wonderful thing radio and phones are and internet. We got you. David Himbaro, by the way, is an educator, an author, and he was once worked in the office of the president of Rwanda, Paul Kagame, and has written wonderful books about his knowledge of Rwanda and what the world needs to understand. David, I guess you and I are both very much, we have Victoire Ingabire on our minds at the moment. I saw your Twitter statement that the president doesn't seem to be happy with Victoire's, the way she's conducting herself following her release. Talk about what you think of the situation.
Oh, actually, Victoire may be in more trouble because you know what she did today.
I do not.
Victoire Ingabire is a brave woman. She went to attend the trial of Diane Rwigara and her mother today.
Woo. That's a little sound I rarely use. Oh, my. Oh, boy. Ooh la la, as to quote Faustin Tugere Mungu, ooh la la.
Yeah, which is extraordinary. And she was seated on the front row. And what she did, therefore, is completely what the Rwandan dictator Paul Kagame wants her to do. He wants her to lie low and kneel and be thankful for having been freed from prison.
Mm-hmm.
But Ingabire won't have none of this.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, her actions and her statement is that the man did her no favors because he imprisoned her wrongly anyway on false charges.
Mm-hmm.
And that basically, she is going to continue from where she left off before she went to prison, which is to fight for democracy and freedom from dictatorship for Rwanda, really. That's what she's doing.
It is striking. All of us had a slight hollow feeling when she was released because we all said to ourselves, well, there is also Diane. And, of course, we're very pleased. She should have been freed long since. But none of us felt quite comfortable saying, good for you, because we all felt we have to do something about Diane Rwigara. And so the first thing she does is go to the trial.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, even before the trial, Victoire Ingabire visited the Rwigara family.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, going now to court to be with them, give them solidarity.
Mm-hmm.
It really is, to me, as a Rwandan, it makes me really feel that, we have leaders there. We have incredible leaders.
Yes.
Yes.
We might be looking at a president and a vice and a prime minister.
Yeah, you may recall that last year I wrote a piece saying that, now that Kagame is hitting the Rwandan lioness, they'll hit back. Rwandan women have always led, but this is the case in the point.
Mm-hmm.
She is not backing down. And what sometimes the government of Kagame tries to do, and he has not succeeded, he tries to make Ingabire come out as the leader of the Hutu.
Mm-hmm.
He tries to play
yes.
ethnic card.
Mm-hmm.
But Ingabire says, no, I'm not leader of Hutu, I'm leader of Rwandan.
Mm-hmm.
True, where the Hutu people have been victimized, I'll talk about it. Where the Tutsi people have been victimized, I'll talk about it. But I'm not a leader of either or. I am leader of Rwandan people. And you see, the more and what makes the Yan and Ingabire different is that they chose to fight him inside Rwanda. Inside Rwanda. Because usually, you know, he manages to lock, you know, exile people.
Drives people abroad.
And believing that those inside Rwanda were not there. And that. But here are these women. So it seems to me that so Kagame will be very disappointed because he was expecting her to take for Masanla
to fly to Holland or something.
Yeah, even threatening that he'll throw her back in prison. This is not silencing or intimidating this woman leader. Absolutely not. Yeah.
We're speaking to David Himbara, an educator and author, and he has three really excellent books, Kagame's Economic Mirage, Kagame's Killing Fields, and Kagame's Eight. This is very funny. Eight Rwanda's Pension. This is your latest book. You know, the one reason I know you're in trouble, David, is you laugh, and he does not like people who laugh at him.
Oh, no.
That is, laughing is definitely outlawed, but dictators hate laughter.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no. They're very, very miserable and happy people. So you're absolutely right. Any smile or any, especially the satire, political satire.
Yeah.
It makes them go crazy.
Well, he does a lot of the script himself. And again, it's David Himbara. By the way, excellent Twitter account. You can keep up with these matters. Now, David, you actually are drawing a very important line here on, and these two very prominent women, Victoire Ingabire and Diane Wagara, they agree with you about the actual reality of the Rwandan economy and the problems. That's my impression from reading them. Is that so?
No, no, absolutely, absolutely. The two, you see, the two know very well. The two are aware from their statements and from their program that Kagame's so-called economic mirage is economic miracle is a mirage. It's about himself. It's about prestigious project in Kigali that has left millions of Rwandans. Their lives really hasn't changed.
Yes. By the way, just I got to say, and I urge people, go to the Twitter site. He refused to raise the minimum wage, which is 11 cents an hour? Is that what it is?
Yeah, you know. Oh, I see that you follow what I write.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. How can you have – that's an economic miracle that anybody's alive.
Yeah, you know, the last time that the minimum wage was raised in Rwanda to 100 francs, which is 11 cents, 0.11. It's not even 11 cents. It's 0.11 cents. Was in 1974. Kagame was 17 years old. But, you know, he won't raise it. Just last week, he refused to raise it. And by the way, in 2009, I was still there in Rwanda, and, of course, I was horrified. He increased the working week from Monday to Saturday. So they only have Sunday in Rwanda to rest, and then at a minimum wage of 11 cents. What kind of economic mirage would that be, or rather, economic miracle would that be? It's horrifying.
he seems,
even among the poor countries, that's extraordinary. Usually we talk about, we're horrified by $1.09 a day. But zero minimum wage, zero 11 cents. So these women in Gabriel and they know very well that...
Now, again, by the way, both of them, as you pointed out, the people, this is significant. Now you have people who are Rwandans. They in the case of Dionne, of course, she's been there and has lived it and observed the reality around her. And, of course, Victoire has been now in a long time in prison. She has a very good idea about the poverty and the brutality and corruption around her. Both of them are well-versed in this. Yeah. Isn't it true that Kagame has – he spent a lot of money abroad publicizing the story to build this mirage that he's got shiny buildings, and that means progress?
Oh, yes. And, of course, he has his cheerleaders, including Bill Clinton, Tony Blair, all these former, Western leaders. They were initially driven by the guilt of not, probably having not done enough during genocide, and then they went overboard, overcompensated, became basically groupies of Kagame, and they have sold that line.
By the way, I mean, we're talking about two individuals who are under, in their own societies, suspected of the corruption in terms of building. Finding themselves, creating foundations which profit them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And they have the inside track with Mr. Kagame. I mean, he's got it between, it's a kind of, is the word symbiosis or something? They're linked.
Yeah, just about a month ago, Kagame made the head of the investment promotion, is Tony Blair's staff. Tony Blair, it's a kind of a sick relationship, really, that it's not healthy at all.
Yeah.
Not healthy.
This is David Himbara, and of course we're discussing the release of Victoire Ingabire and the new circumstances that have developed as a result of her freedom, of her release. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask, and I about this Kizito Mihigo, the singer. Do you know, can you tell us anything about him and what he is, how he reacted to his release?
This is a young man that was a popular singer, and his messages, his songs, were really usually largely about peace. Peace, unity, reconciliation. And he made, really branded, really was a very positive influence, especially among the Rwandan youth, and even the regional youth. He covered, they grabbed his phone and found that he had a texting with people outside talking about repression inside Rwanda. That was his crime. Sending text messages to friends, he ended up in prison, and they cooked the story that he was plotting
an assassin
to overthrow the government.
This is a very devout young man. He sings primarily in churches or for Christian organizations, right?
No, absolutely.
the perfect suspect.
Yeah. Then of course he threw him in jail. So they have freed him. The statements he made, I've already seen one statement that he has made, is that basically he'll keep on where he left off again, doing his rounds with the positive message, unity and reconciliation. I haven't seen anything beyond the initial statement that he has made.
People are asking such questions as, is this related And it is dramatic that you have these two individuals and 2,000 others actually released at the same time. There's some kind of tectonic shift going on in the region, and there might be other matters. There are questions of, is Kagame Rwanda being influenced by events in Ethiopia, Eritrea? Is he being influenced by events in Uganda and his problems with President Museveni, the two of them being old friends at one time?
Yeah, but also don't forget the events in the main Fanda, the Fanda of Rwanda, the top aid giver is the United States. United States it's the one that had made him a darling throughout all these years. Mm-hmm. But he has been expelled from AGOA, the trading arrangement that gives free entry to African products. And then Kagame is this large religious following, supporters of him. But when Kagame basically closed over 1,000 churches a few months back, it seems that Kagame lost the little bit of support that was left there.
Wow.
So there is that. And he cannot do without the United States, because you see, this is where he spread his propaganda. The Harvard, the Yale's worship him. They give him platform. But suddenly...
Harvard.
Yeah.
I can't...
None of these are giving him any platform anymore.
Well, that's the most important church of all.
You
got to worship at Harvard.
Yes. So the U.S. definitely is in very, very bad book. And of course, the new Secretary of State for Africa has openly stated that he is not for dictators on that continent. And indeed, he's been praising Ethiopia for freeing up prisoners, calling people, the political opposition overseas has returned. Ethiopia has opened up its border with Eritrea. It's like a complete U-turn from the previous regime in Ethiopia.
Mm-hmm.
Then Kagame seems therefore to be isolated, as you said, even on the continent. Mm-hmm. Ugandans are not talking to him. Kenyans are not talking to him. Americans are not talking to him. South Africa are not talking to him. We have speculated that these developments may account for why he tried to kind of free people, to indicate that he too is opening a political space.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not happening, because once Ingabire came out and started making statements, Kagame's two colors came out. He said, "Shut up, or I throw you back in."
Ah.
So there you have it.
So one of them might end up back in. It was be surprised. just remind. I should tell our listeners, by the way, because David Himbara, your work has been very important in all this, and I know that around the world it's recognized that you are also you have spoken out. You've written your books, at some risk, is you know whereof you speak, and there are people who've been murdered around in Africa and even in Europe. Where the authorities say it came from this regime. I wonder, is this going to become sort of a talking point soon? Because there's some bodies to be accounted for.
Oh, you know, oh my God. That sort of behavior doesn't stop. This Kagame regime is relentless in pursuing people, both inside and outside. In Britain, a few months back, the British police warned one of these Rwandans there that he was at risk. I mean, this goes on, you know, since the death of the Karegeyas, and no, even the death of Karegeya is only 2013. These assassinations and intimidations began way back in 1998 in Kenya. So it doesn't stop. Even me, I mean, when I fled Rwanda, he pursued me in South Africa, then I came back here to Canada. Thank goodness I'm Canadian. And
very close call.
Oh, my God, yes, several. Then, of course, when I came back here, when the government was full aware, because even when I was in South Africa, I had informed the Canadian High Commission. So here, they didn't take it as a joke. Absolutely not, when I came here. So I'm always thankful, and of course I make a joke about it. How I used to take Canada for granted, you know. But coming home, no, I don't take Canada for granted. In fact, when we have Canada Day, you always find me in the front of the line with a flag.
Yes, that's.
So this shows, you know, I have an option. I have home here. But there are people who don't have options, man.
Yes.
Those are the ones who perish. Yeah.
Well, and I should ask you, and I didn't, this is a fresh subject with us, but I'm sure you have some opinions. Kagame's trying to interfere, I understand, in the Belgian elections. There are Rwandans who want to run for election as Belgians, and his government is arguing they shouldn't be allowed to run. Are you aware of that? I mean, I'm sure you are. What do you think of that?
It's absurd. And meanwhile, he is campaigning for his foreign minister to become the head of the Francophonie.
What, and so that she might learn French?
I think she speaks French, but that's the irony, you know. On one hand, he has that internationalism, you know, becoming, belonging to a global body. But on the other hand, he doesn't want Rwandan Belgians to exercise their political rights, you know?
Yeah.
This man wants to have it both ways.
You know, that's, by the way, that, I mean, this is part of the outreach, you know, where he was silencing people by means of assassination and intimidation. I mean, it's certainly, this seems to be a display of that. He intends to, if he can, to intimidate people abroad into silence.
Yeah, basically, he wants to control, because, you see, some, it's like, myself and people who are like myself, when you come from that situation in Rwanda, and basically we end up, he ends up making us activists who are not. I was never a film. I was a boring political economist writing, you know, looking at numbers, development strategy. The last thing that ever entered my mind was activism. But when you pursue me here, I keep running, and then you say at some point, no, enough is enough. I'm not running here. You know what? I no longer even fear here to lock my door. Don't do this, don't do that. No, I can't run anymore. And that's precisely what Gabriel says too, even at a higher risk. He said, no, I came from my family in Netherlands to run for political office because I have my beliefs. You pursued me. You imprisoned me. Then you say you have now freed me. And then now you have to dictate even how I behave. I shut up. He said, no, I won't. Enough is enough. Yes.
So he has created people, political people who, like yourself, training in economics, and I think she has considerable training, Victoire does, but not as a politician. But both of you have become politicians. Well, we have Kagame to thank for that, and we are grateful, too.
he has pop politicized. He has reawakened even the dead, really, because it's just too much here. It's just too much. Just too much.
Well, David Himbara, it's been a great pleasure talking to you. Congratulations on your book. People should know it's Kagame's Economic Mirage, Kagame's Killing Fields, and Kagame Ate Rwanda's Pension. I know they're all available, by the way, on the shelves of a different book list, Bathurst Street in Toronto and around the world. Just use the internet and get them. David, thank you very, very much. It's been very enlightening.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, Phil. Thank you so much.
I'm glad we caught you. Okay, doke.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's David Himbara.